Amen. Lord, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Praise team. God bless you. You can be seated. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we hallow your name. We thank you for accepting our worship and our praises this morning. You alone are worthy to be praised. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. There is none to be compared unto you. Before thee, there was no God formed, and there shall not be any after you. Lord, we hallow your name. Thank you, faithful God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. This morning, the Lord laid my heart to share with you what I call commitment to Christ. Commitment to Christ, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. What's the meaning of commitment? Commitment means that certain decisions are made in advance, irrespective of circumstances, concerning you and God. You are in a covenant relationship with God. God has got covenant promises in his word. One of them is that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you always, even until the end of the age. That's one of the promises. He will keep you away from all the diseases of the Egyptians. That's one of the promises. Amen. But I don't know which promise you made to God when you gave your life to Christ. Directly or indirectly, you said, Lord, I love you. And I want you to be my Lord and Savior forever and forever. And I want to live with you forever. Indirectly, that's what you said and that's what you did when you gave your life to Christ. Because love is reciprocal. If you have a marriage where one party gives to the other, gives, gives, and the other one does not reciprocate, that's not good enough. Is it good enough? No, it's not good enough. According to T.D. Jakes, say, you cannot get into a true relationship without reciprocity. Reciprocity, that is, do good to me, I will also show you kindness. I will also show you that I love you. Amen? Amen? Yes. Jesus loves me, I know. He saved me, washed away all my sins. Do I love him? Do you love him? Today we're going to talk about commitment. For example, I say, like a promise you make. You've not done it yet, but you are saying, Lord, forever I'll be with you. I'll love you. E.g., I will honor Christ, whatever the pain and whatever the cost. That's like one of the promises you and I ought or have made to the Lord. I will obey God's word, even if that is the hardest thing to do. When it is draining, or when it is fulfilling. That's just like a commitment statement. And we'll drive it by. We come to the book of Ruth. We see an example of commitment. A commitment statement made by Ruth. You all know the story of Ruth. How that she lost her husband and she was ready to go with her mother-in-law. You know, a foreigner. She herself from Moab. And then the mother-in-law from Judah, the people that do love God, that believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And let's read from the Bible the commitment she made to follow Naomi. Ruth chapter 1 from verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Verse 15. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law, that's Naomi now, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more so, if aught but death part thee and me. This was a lady who made that kind of commitment statement to the mother-in-law. Say, I'll follow you, Mom. You have been so good. I love your ways. I love your God. We serve idols here, the Moabites and all that, but I love your God. I want to follow you. I don't know. You're asking me whether I will, even if I have a son today, will you be patient enough for this child to grow up so that you marry him again? You know, I'm not caring about all that. Your God is a good God. I've heard about your God, and I've seen that God in you. I want to follow you. Jesus is Lord. Amen. We have heard about him. We have experienced him. And we know that it's good to love him even unto the end. For some people, it's when death comes. For others, it's at the translation when Jesus will come for us. Amen? That's my hope. That's my expectation. May that be yours too in Jesus' name. We want to read a passage from the book of Matthew, chapter 10, 36 to 38. Talking about commitment. What is it really about to be committed to Christ? Matthew chapter 10, 36 to 38. Verse 36. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me. Praise the Lord. So, meaning that we have to love Jesus Christ above all else. You love Jesus Christ above your husband. You love Jesus Christ above your wife, more than your wife, more than your mother, more than your father, more than your parents, more than anything so dear to you, more than your boyfriend you tend to get married to. Love Jesus more. If you love him, you know what to do? You keep his commandments. Amen. That's commitment. If you are ready to do this, then you surely be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Another passage we want to read is Matthew 22, 36 to 37. Matthew 22, 36. Master, which is the greatest commandment? That's Matthew 22, 36. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And that scripture says, with all your might, power, all your ability, physical power, everything, use it to love the Lord above all else, even more than yourself. You have to love the Lord Jesus Christ more than yourself. We read it. That if you love yourself more than the Lord, then you might deny him at the moment of trial. But you see, if you love Jesus more than yourself, then you're on your way to get it committed to the Lord. Apostle Paul was committed to the Lord and to preaching the gospel as well. And that is why in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, this is what he has to say. Say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm crucified with Christ. I mean that, look, I'm dead to sinful life. I'm dead to sinful pleasure. I'm now a new person. I'm now a new creature, alive in Christ Jesus. Things that used to move me in those days, they no longer move me. Amen. Amen. Things I used to do, I do them no more. Things I used to love, I love them no more. Things I used to hate, I hate them no more. It's been a great change since I was born. Amen. Great change since I was born again. Have you experienced that change? If you have experienced that change, be ready to get committed to the Lord. Because it's not all those who start the race that make it to the very end. Some people fall by the wayside, but it shall not be your portion in the name of Jesus. But make up your mind. Just like Daniel, when he found himself in a strange land, the land of Babylon, he made up his mind. It was just a decision in his heart. So I'm here in this foreign land. I'm not going to eat of the king's delicacies, which are contrary to the word of God, to the law of God. I'm going to eat what God approves. I'm not going to defy myself. He encouraged the three Hebrew children to do likewise. That's it. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Amen? Actually, it appeared the opposite of commitment is to be worldly. We're talking about Christianity, you and God. To be worldly is enmity with God. That is, you love the ways of the world, the sinful ways of the world. When you talk about worldliness, you're talking about the sinful pleasures of this present world. You can't love those things and say, oh, I love God with the same commitment. No. Neither can you serve mammon and serve the true living God at the same time. So there has to be loyalty to just one. And Jesus Christ has to be number one in my life and in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to talk about indices of commitment, the signs of commitment. Because some may be doubting, say, am I really committed to the Lord? No. But let's examine some of these indices. They will tell you whether you're on the right course, committing your life to the Lord. Number one, prayer life. We are to pray without ceasing. That's what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. We need to pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Okay, every second, every minute I'll be praying? Not necessarily. But everywhere and anywhere I want to pray, I can pray. Christians are not meant to pray 10 times a day or 5 times a day or 3 times a day. No, there's nothing like that. As led by the Holy Spirit, if you are in a cab and you are led to pray concerning any matter, God will hear your prayer. Amen? Even if you are sleeping, you are laying down for one reason or the other, you can't get up or you don't even want to get up and you want to communicate with God, the telephone to heaven is always open. Praise the Lord. All the time. So you can pray all the time. You are working, you are cooking in the kitchen. You can be praying. Yes, you are in tune with God. You're just taking a walk with your children. You know? And you can be praying. So Christians are not bound to pray any number of times a day. You are, as led by the Spirit of God, you can always pray. But it's good to start the day with prayer, formally, especially parents and children. Start the day formally with prayers. Commit the day into the hand of God. Worship God, no matter how short. Agree as a family. This is the time suitable for us. And we'll do it and be committed to it in Jesus' name. I'm not just telling you what is written in the Bible. I did that. And for so many years now, you know, we continue that even after we raise up our children and they are now adults, they now have their own family. We still do that even today. Amen. It's very, very important. It's a sign of commitment to God, that of, without God, I can do nothing. The God factor in your life is very, very important. It's unlike the spirit of the age, wherein people say they are independent of God. Oh, they don't need God at all. You don't want to hear. Don't want to hear. I'm not religious. You talk it to somebody, I say, I'm not religious. I don't even want to be religious. Because what we know about religion is man's way of finding God. But Christianity is God's way of saving mankind. Relationship with God. Another indices of knowing whether we are committed to God is fasting. Fasting. Luke 5:33-35. Let's see what the Lord told disciples. Are we there? Luke 5:33. And they said unto him, why do disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise disciples of the Pharisees, but dine, eat, and drink? You know, the Pharisees, they were asking Jesus that. Verse 34, Luke 5:34. And he said unto them, can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. These are the days. Yes, especially now. There's so much demonic activity in the society. We need to fight the fight of faith. We need to defend our faith, and we need to uphold what we believe. Amen. So we need to fast. Fasting is necessary. There are people who are used to long fasts, you know, that they do 40 days, 50 days, 60 days, 100 days, you know. To some, I believe it has become a religion. Fasting is very important and is clearly taught in the Word of God. But when you are fasting, there are certain things you need to do and recognize. Time to show mercy, time to forgive people and discharge people, you know, who have offended you. You know, but there are Christians who fast and still hold enemies, hold on to enemies. They would even rather fast that an enemy should die. Is that the kind of fasting that God likes? God is not interested in the death of a sinner. You fast deliberately for somebody to fall down and die because it's an enemy. But Jesus Christ came to save enemies. God said we should love our enemies, pray for them that despitefully use you. That's the word of God. If you love God, be committed to his word as well. Amen? Yes. So we have seen that in time of Jesus Christ, the disciples of John, they fasted. The Pharisees, they fasted. So no, it's not only Christians that fast. You know, other religions, they do fast. But we fast to reason. And when we fast, we humble ourselves. We subdue the flesh so that the Spirit of God will come forth alive in our life. When God speaks, we'll be able to discern God's voice. That's one of the reasons why we fast, to humble our flesh and to be able to fast track the answer to our prayers. Amen. Amen. It's like auxiliary gear in a vehicle. When you engage it, the car moves much faster, you know, than the normal. Fasting does that. There are personal and individual fasts. That is, on your own, God can just lead you. Just go on a fast for as many days as God will lead you, just to solve a problem or just to worship him and just have a closer fellowship with God. You know, that kind of thing. You can do that. There is what we call fasted life. And that's what I personally believe more in. Fasted life. It may not have to be long, long, long fast, but often. Often. You subdue the flesh. Often. Often. Short fast. You know? But there's also corporate fast. If the church, for example, declares, so for one reason, that we are going to fast for 1 week or 2 weeks, as the case may be, forget about personal level. This is now corporate. The church has said, and in agreement and in commitment with the church objectives fast. I know, for example, this is the third day of our fast. But there may be some people here who are not even fasting. Consecration week. I know it's land of freedom. I do what I want to do. Nobody owes me. I owe myself. But you see, if you are truly committed to Christ, you can't say that. I don't owe myself. You don't own yourself. God owns you. Amen? Yes. And if you are in a church, be committed to the programs of the church as well. So if the church declares fasting, by all means, please join solidarity, togetherness, unity of purpose, so that God will answer our prayers faster. Amen? Amen. Yes. Stewardship. Indices of committed life. Stewardship. Whatever we have now, time, treasures, and talents, they all belong to God. God gave us in the first place. When we talk about time, you know time. The reason why some people don't have time for family or time, they are so busy, they don't have time. But you see, it's because you don't value that time. You have created time that's suitable for the whole family. And then you have money, devotion, whatever the case. You know, time is important. God gave us time. And we should use it to his praise and his glory. We are stewards of what God has given us. We are to manage. We are managers of God's blessings and endowments. We use them to the glory of God. So don't say you don't have time. That's why you don't come to fellowship. That's why you don't join the men's prayer line. That's why you don't join the women's prayer line. And the youths, they have their own line. I don't have time. I don't have time. Well, God knows that in this country, we work night and day. But let it not be a routine, a regular thing that, oh, maybe today is prayer time. You don't have time today. Next time, you won't have time too. The other time, you won't have time too. Then, where is the love of God? How are you putting God's thing as number one in your life? So you have to make sure everything works, you know, in accordance with God's will for your life. And God takes precedence. Praise the Lord. If for sincere reasons you miss prayer line and all that, should be that, oh, you were very busy, and God will understand that. But when it's a regular thing, or I don't care, matter, then it's not good enough. It means you just care about yourself. You don't care about the church programs. We need to be, if we are committed to God, we should be committed to the church where we worship God as well. Amen. So, talk about treasures, money. Money that God has given us is a land of plenty. Instead of serving God and giving God praise, some people are serving mammon now. They rather worship the money that God has given them. It ought not to be so. Children of God, we should learn to give glory to God and serve God with our money. Money should not become a God to us. Amen? Amen. Talents, gifts. For example, some of us are talented to sing, and that is why we have the praise team here. There may be some people who are here to enlist, but they have that talent. Please do. By all means, God wants you here. So you meet the leader, and then you know how to get in. You need to use your talents because God gave you, and he didn't want you to bury it. You know, just bury the talent. No, he wants us to trade with our talents to the praise and glory of his name. So whether it be time, treasures, talents, skills, giftings, spiritual gifts, etc., they are not for you. If God has endowed you with spiritual gifts, do you know that those gifts are really not for you? Spiritual gifts, the nine spiritual gifts. If God has given one or two or any of them, it's for the body of Christ. When you congregate together, when we meet together, that's when these gifts become functional in the body of Christ. So don't hide your gifts and don't hide your talents. Showcase your talent to the glory of God. Indices of commitment to God, obedience to God. Yes, we have to obey God. If we love him, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Say, I love God, I love God. But you don't want to keep his commandments. Well, there are some people who are given to extreme temptation of grace, grace, grace. They have this grace, grace, grace. You don't that we are no longer under commandments to obey or this and that. That's too holistic. It's too general. It's not so. There are still commandments in the word of God to obey. Actually, there are 1,050 commandments in the New Testament alone for Christians to obey. And yet, commandments of the Lord are not grievous. If you have the Holy Spirit, it becomes easy. Because Holy Spirit helps you even to serve God, unlike in the Old Testament, where we had, you must do this, you don't have to do that, but there was no power. Philippians 2:13 tells us that God helps us. He helps us even to obey him. Is that not wonderful? It's wonderful. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Think about that. In the Old Testament, we didn't have that privilege. Holy Spirit helps us today. Commandments of the Lord are not grievous. Love your enemies, a command. Be kind-hearted to one another, especially they of the household of faith. That's another command. So I don't have to tell you all of them, but they are still there. Not necessarily as the Ten Commandments, but they are expanded. Praise the Lord. In some cases, reviewed. You cannot get... Yeah, we said that before, what T.D. Jakes said. Say you cannot get into a true relationship without reciprocity. That is, you must get committed to God. Another thing, doing God's will. Jesus Christ came to show an example of how the children of God should be. He came to fulfill the Father's will, to do the Father's pleasure. That's exactly what we need to do. As he is, so are we in this world. Amen? In marriage, seek God's will. I want to get married. I'm of age to get married. Because there's freedom. Anything I just like, I just like. Anything I hate, I just hate. Because we're in America. Seek God's will. You may need to pray and fast so that God's will be done. In my own case, just to illustrate, when I wanted to get married, and I reluctantly wanted to get married because once upon a time I wanted to become a reverend father, and I didn't want to get married at all. But when I finished my college and we're doing what we call youth service in Nigeria, I found I had let my brother, my parents, my relations. And I was just now alone with other people. And reality dawned on me that I can't continue this way. I need a helper. Just like God said, it's not good that a man should live alone. That was when sincerely I started to pray for a wife. In my college days, where colleagues were praying. In fact, most of them got married while we were in college together. But I wasn't moved in that direction at all. But it dawned on me that at this time, I had to pray. And I said, God, there are so many beautiful ladies out there. How can I choose except you choose for me? Lord, please help me. I want to thank God that God did for me. I never had to propose to any girl, oh, I want to marry you. And then they say no. I never told anyone. And so nobody told me no. But I told one to my dear wife, Veronica, and she said, yes. Today, we are close to 39 years, 39 years of marriage. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Yes, so I admonish the same thing. If you really want to be committed to God and do God's will, pray concerning everything, your career. Oh, when we are in high school, some say, I want to become a soldier. I want to become a naval officer. I want to become a merchantman. I want to become, you know, a writer. Good. That's just your desire. But as a child of God committed, say, Lord, so many professions, I don't even know which to choose. Direct me. Pray, simple prayer. The important thing is that you put God first as number one, that you are not your own, that he paid a price for you. You are his purchased possession, and you need to do his will. and to serve him all the days of your life. Amen? Amen. So do that in everything that you need to do, in your kind of work, where to work and all that. Another sign or indices of commitment to God, sincerity in speaking God's mind. Amen? And revelations. This one is like a special thing. God just led me to add it there. In situations, moments, when we claim we are speaking for God, because any of us, God can speak to us so that we can in turn speak to other people in his body. When it comes to the prophetic, God told me, we want to talk about that a little bit. Because when people say, God told me, you are very serious because God, he said God told him or God told her. So you, in fact, you almost have no option. But I want to tell you there are three main sources of prophecies and revelation. Three main, there could be others. Three main. Number one, your mind. Something can be uppermost in your mind about somebody, and you want to say that thing. But don't put God if you are sure it's your mind that's telling you that. Because in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3, we're told, let's see it. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3. That in the multitude of business, therefore, there cometh dreams. Does God speak through dreams? Sure. It's one of the ways God speaks to his own children, through dreams. But I want to tell you, it's not only God that speaks through dreams. Through the multitude of your business, your concerns, your anxieties, what you think about, what your mind is preoccupied about for a long time, you are likely to dream about it. And that's what that scripture means, that for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Ecclesiastes 5:3. That's talking about dreams. So God can give you dreams too. But then, any revelation you have, make sure it's in line with the word of God. A pastor, a man of God, or anybody can say, God just revealed to me that your husband is your wife is a witch. You will never prosper because he just told me your wife is a witch. The only thing, you know what happened to witches in the Old Testament? You know what? Mm-hmm. So, for as long as you are married to this, your wife, you can never prosper. They are men of God, unquote, who are fond of such things, such kind of revelation. Is that in line with the word of God? Even if your husband is an unbeliever or your wife is an unbeliever, you have no justification to just run away from your husband because I'm now a Christian. The Bible tells us there's a balance that you don't run away, that through you, your husband may come to know God. But please don't go and marry an unbeliever deliberately because of what I've just said. You have to know the word of God, have a balance. Bible says we should not go outside of our tribe to marry. Amen? When you marry an unbeliever, Satan becomes your father-in-law. Don't do that. Amen? Don't want to do that. So, that's about dream. And any other revelation, there are men of God who have, they tell their members to do strange things, funny things. There are some videos I've seen, I cannot even reproduce them here. I cannot tell you about what some of them that I see. Man of God will tell a lady to undress because we want to pray for the pants. This is reality. I mean, if it's in the YouTube, then it's public and it's all over the world. In the name of speaking, in the name of Christ, have such people received revelation from God? No. Because another source apart from your mind is the devil himself. He gives dreams. Satan can give dreams. just, you know, to confuse a marriage or to break up a home or to cause confusion and to bring fear. In fact, in some of these so-called spiritual churches where they give all those kind of revelations that are not scriptural, is to instill fear in the people. So that if they ask them to bring money, oh, yes, I will bring it, Pastor. I will bring it. Yes, there are people who are living in fear today in Christianity because so many kinds and shades of belief. May Lord deliver from them all in Jesus' name. What you are hearing now may not pertain to you because we are not in such a situation, but your relation may be in such a situation. They should be able to discern prophecy and know whether it is of God, whether the man is speaking of himself, or is just out of the multitude of dreams, is God that revelation? Or is the devil outright that want to bring fear and confusion? So we are in a position to judge prophecies, not to be deceived, because especially at this end time, so many things go on in the name of Christ. God said, do you know that Satan can appear as an angel of light? Yes, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 14 to 15, we are told that Satan can appear as the angel of light. So you have to be able to discern. Godly dreams are one of the ways God speaks to us. Let me give you an example about people who speak their mind and say, thus saith the Lord. Talking about commitment to God. Don't be a deceitful follower of Christ. If you are committed, be committed sincerely. Otherwise, some people become borrowed vessels. God will use their money, use their time and all that. They will work for God, but at the end, they will make heaven. We don't want to be that. Don't be a borrowed vessel for the Lord. Amen? Yes, serve God faithfully, diligently, in accordance with his word and will. There's a sister I know, way back in Nigeria, when she was of age to get married, about 7 brothers came to her. God told me, you are my wife. That one passed. And that one will come. God told me, you are my wife. And that one will come. God told me, you are my wife. About 7 of them. The star was confused. Confused. God told you. But God hasn't told me anything. Therefore, she went to pray herself and seek the face of God concerning this matter. I mean, confusion. Lord, this can't be. And God gave her a revelation of the brother she was going to get married to. Amen? But none of those 7, when that brother also prayed, God revealed to him the wife to be. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. God is an awesome God. He's not a partial God. He revealed to this, he revealed to that. When I prayed, you know, and God revealed to me, my wife. God also revealed to her. Different circumstances and different ways. So equation, balance. Amen. Yes. So when the sister prayed and God showed her, eventually the brother actually showed up. Say yes. Yes. And said yes to the brother. That's how they got married. Up to today, they are still married. Successful marriage. Amen. But you see, all those people who said, God told me. They didn't hear from God. For their mind, out of the multitude of business, coming for dreams. That's how they got their various revelation. But it's a serious thing. When you are speaking your mind, you say, God has said. It's a serious matter. So let us be careful, even exhibiting our spiritual gifts, so that we don't lead people to bondage and confusion. Amen. Commitment in witnessing. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. What does it say? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So that's what God expects us to be witnesses for him. You don't have to be a pastor or a prophet to be a witness for for Jesus. Every believer is a witness for Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself and by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation." You are a minister of God. Amen? You are an ambassador of God. Somebody asked, you say you are a minister. What's your portfolio? To be God's witness. Amen. Every believer, know it, young and old, just know it, black and white. Because there are some Christians who believe that it's only people of the five ministerial giftings that can preach and all that. It's not so. And by the way, the Bible tells us that we should preach the gospel in season and out of season. So every one of us, we have that responsibility to preach the good news. Ezekiel chapter 3, 17 to 21. To tell us that we have a responsibility to preach the good news. It's a commitment that we should make to God. Ezekiel chapter 3, 17 to 21. Son of man, verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die, and his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. That's the watchman. Yet, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Verse 20. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, and he shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he had done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thy hand. Verse 21. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned also that has delivered thy soul. This is one responsibility that every one of us should know. We are duty bound, since we are committed to the Lord, to obey his word. If you love me, keep my commandments. Lord has said we should be his witnesses. And like we are drawing from Ezekiel chapter 3, we are watchmen for God. We are his ambassadors. We are his representatives. We represent him wherever we live. Wherever we walk, we are his representative. We can't afford to hide ourselves like secret disciples. We must showcase the love of God in our heart towards all men. Amen. Amen. So be committed, brothers and sisters. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, no, Apostle Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Amen. If indeed we are committed to Christ, we must of necessity conform to his mission on earth, which is summarized in Luke 19, verse 10. The mission of Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus Christ actually come to this world? He came to heal the sick. Is that the reason why Jesus Christ came? He came to raise the dead. Oh, so to you, that's the reason he came. What really is the reason why Jesus Christ came? He came to seek and to save with them that are lost. Amen. He wouldn't sit down in his place and say, expect sinners to come to him. He sought for them. He went to towns and villages preaching the good news. That's the reason. And this is the same ministry he has committed to us. It's not only on Saturdays when we meet here that we can have this opportunity. In your workplace, anywhere, If you are the kind of person, you say, oh, I don't know so many scriptures, even to quote or to tell somebody and all that. Tracts, there are tracts that are readily available. We have tracts in this place. If you request for them, we can put them out there. You make use of them. Put them inside your pocket, inside your bags, wherever you go. You're in a bus, you're in a train station, the aircraft, you can share the good news. Apart from verbal expression, you can give out this prayerfully. There are some people who have got into the ministry because they read a tract that was even found in the trash. Yes, they read it, got converted, and sought after the Lord. Unfortunately, I also heard not too long ago that somebody got into pornography and into sexual immorality, drugs, and all kinds of stuff because he found some pornographic material in the trash can too. That's on the negative side. But we have the good news to share. Amen? Share it wherever you go. Commitment to what Christ did. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, tells us in summary what Christ came to do. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He did all that. Good works. Is that not good works? He went about doing good. Today, some Christians feel that, oh, doing good works is not necessary because we are saved by grace. They equate doing good works with Isaiah 64, verse 6, which said that your righteousness is like feeding rats in sight of God. But that's not it. Don't quote scripture out of context. That scripture refers to unbelievers who try to know God through doing good, through good works. By doing this or not doing that, they want to be saved by that. That's when works become unfeeding. But not after you are saved. When you are saved, God expects you to produce works of righteousness. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. See, we are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works. Read it. Matthew 5, 16. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So as a born-again Christian, you expect to do good works. Do charitable works. Help the orphans. Help widows. Help to rehabilitate people because of war or because of violence or because of natural disasters. They have lost their property and means of livelihood. And some concerned Christians now bring them together. That's good ministry. We should do good works. Amen. And God will reward us for our good works. Our good works will result in rewards. Revelation 22, verse 12. Say, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. So there's reward for commitment. Okay, let me just, before I talk about reward for commitment, let's give some tips about when somebody is not committed to Christ, and what can result from it? Lack of commitment results in retarded spiritual growth. You not grow as you ought to. You ought to grow. Living things grow. Human beings grow. In Christ, we ought to grow. If you feed on the word of God regularly and have fellowship with children of God, you surely will grow. And you're obedient to the word of God, you grow. But when you are not committed to Christ, your slow will be retarded. We come very slow, your growth, your spiritual growth. It ought not to be so, number one. Number two, no regular attendance at church service meetings or even online meeting like it is these days. No regular. You are not so much concerned about it. Maybe once in a blue moon, you just show that you are a member, then you just belong. It's not supposed to be so. You're not committed. No changed life. Even after so many years of having known Christ, no changed life. You profess you know Christ, but practically your ways are still like the ways of the world. It shows there's no commitment there. And then you are easily discouraged when there is opposition to your faith. Somebody opposes you because you're a Christian and threaten you. I will fire you. Or I will deprive you of certain benefits. Then, you have to sit up so that they will not do that. You don't pray about it. God can even change that their threat into a blessing for you. If a man's way please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Get to know that. Okay, let's talk about rewards for commitment. There is reward. Mark chapter 10, 29 to 30. Mark 10, 29 to 30. Talking about commitment to Christ. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses, brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecutions. And in the world to come, eternal life." Total package. There is reward in serving the Lord. Amen. There is reward in getting committed to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. So my prayer is that we get to love the Lord the more, even after hearing this today. Oh, time is running out, but let me just say this. There's a little child who once got confused. The mother talked about Jesus, quite right, a Christian, talked about Jesus. But her ways were very strange when they would read the Bible, their morning devotion and all that. See what Jesus did? See what Jesus said? No. And even the teacher, the auntie in the school, will tell that Jesus is such a loving father. He's so kind, so generous, so compassionate, so forgiving. But when I look at my mother, I can't see this thing. So confusion came. One day, he now asked the mother, "Mother, are there two Jesuses? Are there two Jesus?" The mother was infuriated. "How dare you ask that? How dare you not polluting my children in the school? Are they teaching them that there's another Jesus somewhere? What's happening? Come, let's go. I want to go and confront your teacher today." And when he got to school, "Yes, who's your teacher?" "This one." "Okay. Now, if I just teaching my children that there are two Jesus, how come my son is bugging me with this question? Are there two Jesuses?" The mother. They were all confused. Everybody was confused. But the child broke out. He said, "Know what? My mother tells me about Jesus. Quite all right. And my auntie tells me about Jesus. Jesus is so kind, so forgiving, so loving. But I don't see my mother so. My mother steals from my daddy's pocket. My mother hardly forgives when anybody offends her." So I began to wonder. Maybe she's telling me way about one Jesus, and then they are telling me about another Jesus. So I'm confused. Then the mother broke down. And of course, I believe she repented. May that not be our portion in Jesus' name. We should show good example to our children, to our friends, and to our neighbors that Jesus Christ indeed is a loving God. Amen. Enoch walked with God. It was translated. I should not sit there. He walked with God. He was committed to God. Let us likewise be committed to God. I want us to make this proclamation. "Lord, I have heard your words. Please help me to be truly committed to you and your cause in Jesus' name. Grant me more grace to excel in serving you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my spirit, with all of my body, and with all of my might, in Jesus' name. Is there anyone here, you have heard me, maybe you're online and you are watching this, you have not given your life to Christ, this is an opportunity for you to do so. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You have opportunity to get reconciled to God today by simple commitment prayer. Say, Lord, I am a sinner. Have mercy upon me. Forgive my sins and trespasses. I repent of my evil ways. I promise to serve you all the days of my life. Say that kind of prayer. Mean it from your heart. And say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. That's how the journey begins. Yes. May God bless you. And that those who are sick, I speak the word of God unto you to receive healing in the name of Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, you were healed 2,000 years ago. We stand together and we say, it is well with you in the name of Jesus. No matter the confusion you may be in because of misunderstanding, may God grant you revelation and understanding right now in the name of Jesus. It is well with you. You shall be triumphant and victorious. And together we shall make it in the rapture and translation. In Jesus' precious name, God bless your hearts.